Coming up on this week's edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, the Cougs have completed another perfect non-conference campaign after cruising past East Carolina. Now comes BYU's Big 12 opener in Boulder. And we're looking ahead with the coach and safety, Tanner Wall, next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
All right. Here we go again. Good evening again, Cougar Nation. We welcome you back inside Studio C. We're in the BYU Broadcasting Building, the beautiful BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It is already our week 4 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. It is your exclusive weekly look inside the BYU football program. We've got a great live studio audience with us here tonight in Studio C. Outstanding. I love that. That's a good-looking group right there. And we thank you for tuning in live or on demand on the BYU TV app, ESPN Plus, and BYU Radio. Coming up on tonight's show, we're going to look back on BYU's big win in Greenville as the Cougs capture another road opener. Corner Evan Johnson joins Jerem Jordan inside the film room. Deep Blue will feature defensive lineman Keanu Tanuvasa. Safety Tanner Wall will be our guest here at Studio C. And we'll look ahead to this weekend's Big 12 lid lifter at Colorado. 3 days ago in Greenville, he recorded his 75th win as the head coach of your BYU Cougars. Please welcome back into Studio C, Coach Kalani Sitake.
Thank you.
What's up, guys?
Oh. And thanks to Ruth Hemuli, tonight's lay girl, outstanding as always.
Ruthie's awesome. Thank you.
Good to see you again.
Good to be here. What's up, guys?
I just said it in the intro before you came in. You may not have heard it, but that was win number 75 for you as head coach at BYU. That's a good milestone win, I think, right there. This is somehow your 10th season already as head coach.
I know, I feel old, but it was fun. I mean, I wish there was more wins, but we can do something about it starting this weekend.
75 is plenty, though. That's a good number with more to come.
Right,
hey, I'm really proud of the way the guys handled the road opener, and you've now won 8 consecutive road openers. The first time you go on the road in somebody else's venue, you've been able to win that game 8 straight years. And this was a uniquely challenging trip because you are going 2 time zones. You're going East Coast. It's hot. It's humid. There's a long drive on game day. A lot to overcome. You guys played well.
Yeah, I think just when we knew the schedule, we knew what was going to happen. We kind of told the players what was going on. And then we had to communicate with them in every step along the way. And when's the right time to take a nap, when's the right time to eat, all that stuff, so you can be at peak performance. And then, for coaches, it doesn't really matter.
When's the right time to eat for you?
I can eat all the time.
Okay,
that's the great thing about it. So, yeah, there's no fasting for me on the road. So But the guys have done a great job and the leadership. I mean, we have amazing leaders on the team, so it makes it easy for me. I wish I could take all the credit. The guys and the leadership, the senior leadership we see on this team, and just the way they take ownership of the players and make sure the guys are in the right spot, and then give a lot of credit to our coaches, just the way they do everything, and it's been awesome. Then it's great to have, a bunch of fans show up. And
I was gonna say, Cougar Nation really showed out in Greenville.
They were awesome and they were loud. It was fun. The players keep talking about it, but it's like, I think we can get spoiled sometimes, but these guys appreciate everything that the fans do, and the East Coast, they showed up and they represented really well.
They sounded great on the radio, looked great on TV. And when the game ended, a lot of the home fans, of course, had left. And there was that big, big swath of royal blue in that corner of the stadium that hung around to slap 5 with the players and get a hey from you. And I like the shot of you, greeting the fans, taking your hat off, really tipping a cap to the fans there in Greenville.
Post-game. Oh, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of them drove quite a ways to be there. And just hope they recognize that we appreciate them and we love them. And I think the players if they could, they would have ran through them. But then apparently a bunch of them got on the field and yes. kind of crowded us as we were doing the interviews.
Yes.
So I didn't mind, but I wanted to be respectful of East Carolina's field. I mean, it's a nice grass field, you know, and but I think the fans were fine. It was pretty cool, different, but just appreciate East Carolina, the hospitality that they showed us. And it was a lot of fun being out there in that part of the country.
The win got you back in the AP poll for the first time this season at number 25. I know you don't put a lot of focus on that, but it is a good recognition. We'll see that number 25 and the BYU name across the bottom of the screen all week on ESPN. So that's a good thing. And it's a good honor for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, people are starting to find out a little bit, but it's okay. It's good to be recognized, but the guys do it for different reasons. And I think the more and more people need to find out more about these young men, not just what they do on the field, but what they do off the field. Makes them unique and different. That's why I love being around them.
You know, last year there was a lot of focus on the preseason, the Big 12, when they still had a preseason coaches poll or preseason media poll of how low BYU was last year. This year, no such poll to come out to quote unquote motivate the guys. What is driving this team from day one to now, do you think?
Well, I think the guys just love being around each other. They love the mission of our program, which is in alignment with the mission of our university and the mission of our church. And so regardless of what their religious affiliation is, they love playing for something bigger than themselves, and they love seeing the connection that they have to the fans. And that, I mean, you look at all their families, and a lot of our families traveled out there, our players' families traveled out there, and they were welcomed by everyone on that side of the country, which is, I mean, it's nice to know that you belong to a big family and that you play for more than just yourself. And so these young men are amazing. They come from great families, and it's an easy thing to coach when they're such great people.
This is your third year in the Big 12. Since you joined the league, you've played 10 non-conference games, 3 in the preseason every year, and then 1 bowl game last year that doesn't count as a conference game, quote unquote. And you've won all 10 of those games. And some might say, well, you're P4, you're supposed to win those games. But you are putting P4 games in your preseason every year. You are going on the road. 10-0 in the non-conference games, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to keep that O there. That'd be nice. But I just like the opportunity that we get to play the game. And I think COVID taught us that we appreciate just the opportunity to represent. And then to see these young men work so hard in the offseason and sacrifice so much. And it's not just them, it's their families. For them to live their dreams and then to be able to get out there and have fun. Man, it just makes me emotional just thinking about it. But these guys are they deserve everything that's coming their way. And the fact that the fans are just embracing them makes it even better.
We're going to get to the Big 12 opener at Colorado here in a bit. But it is the start of a new phase of your season. Your thoughts on the Big 12 of year 3? And what you've noticed around the league so far as you get ready to open conference play?
Well, there's great coaches in every school and every program, and then and the fans are amazing. I mean, they're not all nice to us, but they're passionate about their team, and that's fine. But it's going to be fun to go into these venues, to go into Colorado Boulder and play against them, and it's going to be a lot of fun to just connect with them. But I think you look at how well coached the teams are, and there's the parity is unbelievable. That's why I think the last 5 champions have been all different.
Yeah.
So we hope that follows this year. You know, but it's fun, especially going from the independent era, and now belonging to a conference, and just having that patch it means a lot. And so I think we miss being part of a conference, and now that we're here, we're just enjoying the partnership that we have with all the schools involved and all their fans.
There was coaching news in the conference today. As I'm sure you've heard, Oklahoma State made a change. Mike Gundy, his long tenure at Oklahoma State, has come to an end there.
Yeah, and Coach Gundy's done a great job there, and he's been so kind to me. I've got to know him and a lot of different coaches' retreats, and so we spent quite a bunch of time together, and so I've really just appreciate that he's just nice and kind to me when he didn't have to be, you know, and he's one of the longest tenured coaches in the conference. And so I just wish him the best. And you know, that's hard to see because that's where he played, and mm-hmm. he's been there for a long time. So I just wish him and the players there the best. I know that it's hard, especially going into those guys that are seniors there. So hopefully they can find a way to perform and play well this season.
All right, thanks for that. BYU improved to 3-0 on the season with Saturday night's 34-13 win at East Carolina. Let's take a look back at that road opening W with highlights and stats. Game highlights are presented tonight and always by Waystar. And LJ Martin had a heck of a night. My goodness, he had his third straight 100-yard rushing game to open the season. He had only 200-yard games for his career coming into this year. He's tied for the national lead for most scrimmage runs of 40 yards or longer. He has four of those runs in the season. One of them we'll see in this clip. LJ just looks great game by game.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And just he knows the offense really. I mean, that he's been in it for 3 years now. And I love the way that he's a complete back. But he also doesn't mind sharing with his teammates and letting the other running backs get the ball sometimes too. But I mean, he's done a great job, and he's a great leader. He's a captain for us.
And a kid that's only a freshman for you, but also leading the team pretty well, is Bear Bachmeier. He set his career high in passing yardage with 246 yards, threw for a touchdown, ran for a touchdown. Through three games as your starter, he's yet to turn the ball over one time. He has a pass efficiency rating just under 160. He's added four rushing scores. He's a young player that looks older every game in terms of how the decisions he makes and how he's playing the game.
Yeah, and it seemed like he grew up a lot in this game. You could tell from the beginning into the second half, he started to feel a lot more comfortable. And then, you know, A-Rod put a lot on his plate and allowing him to make checks and kind of get the flow of the game. And he did a great job doing that. So, I mean, it's good timing, you know. This was a complete game where we needed those guys to play all the way up until the last couple of drives in the game.
We're not going to avoid the defense. We're going to first look at Jack Kelly. Let's call him Sack Kelly. He led BYU with two sacks on the night. He's top 25 nationally now in sacks, top 50 in TFLs, and his TFLs sacks came at a big times on Saturday night.
Yeah, especially since we don't blitz him a lot, you know, so maybe we need to change that. But you know, that was Keanu's sack. Keanu just jumped in the air. Shouldn't have done that. But oh well. Jack will do whatever he can to make the play. But you know, he's a great pass rusher, great run stopper. He's a complete linebacker, and so he'll play the next level.
For his size, he's got great speed, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's a great leader for us. I mean, he's not a big on celebrations. You see, he just kind of walks off. But that's my kind of guy, man.
Saturday night's momentum moment was actually the second of two big moments for cornerback Evan Johnson. His first interception took six off the board, and his second, right here, put six on the board. He was a game changer for the Cougs in Greenville.
Works really hard, and then I saw that they said that he manifested this happening, so probably needs to do that more often. You know, so just need all our guys to start manifesting all the big plays they're going to make. But he did it within his responsibility, and man, what a great reaction! And he kind of set that up. And this is after he already got an interception before,
yep,
and scared everybody by running back
into the end zone.
Yeah, like not a good move by him. But that's I think we can show that if he can just go down the sideline, he'll be safe.
He told us he knew what he was doing. He knew he could beat the guy that had an angle on him, and he kind of U-turned around and made it up the sideline. All's well that ends well, Kalani.
Just don't do it again.
Game stats from Saturday presented by Smarty Address Data Wizards. Let's take a look at the numbers from this non-conference finale. ECU is a good team. They really are. They put up 404 against a really good BYU defense. That's the kind of team they are. I think they're going to be a threat in the America.
I mean, they're ranked really high on all three phases, especially on offense. And then defensively, they were able to have a lot of takeaways and make big plays. And they're a physical team. It was a good test for us. And so, you know, they got some chunk yardage on certain drives. We just couldn't get out of them. But you have to give them credit. I mean, that's I think the biggest key for us was getting out of drives and then owning the clock and taking them out of their tempo that they like to be in quite often as offense.
Very big tempo team, and yeah, we did see them have to leave it at times. Good point. Non-conference play is now in the books for BYU. Let's see how the next few weeks will play out with a schedule check. BYU is at Boulder coming up just 5 days from now. There you see BYU at Colorado on September 27th, this Saturday. Back home on conference weekend, down to Tucson, home to Utah, and then quite the stretch coming up. three consecutive ranked teams currently, with two of them coming on the road. But that's still a little ways in the distance. First up, it'll be the Buffs in Boulder on Saturday. Well, as we saw a moment ago, the BYU-ECU game changed on two key plays made by corner Evan Johnson, his third and fourth career interceptions, the second of which resulted in his first career touchdown, which we just saw. Under head coach Kalani Sitake, by the way, BYU is now 18-4 when a touchdown is scored on defense or special teams. And tonight, Evan Johnson is Jerem Jordan's special guest inside the film room.
Not one, but two picks against ECU, Schmidt. That was awesome, man. Walk me through the first one where you prevent a touchdown.
Yeah, so, I mean, in this clip, we're kind of just playing cover two. My thought was a show man right here, and then he went inside, so I'm just sending him to my safety. And then just trying not to get out leveraged here, right here. So I'm staying outside, and then I really didn't think he was going to throw it, but he threw it right to me, and I kind of just knew that was my time to get the ball. And then a lot of people were, you know, talking about why are you running backwards, but I was really just trying to flip the field and get loose. I should have cut it back because Maury's coming to block for me, because I feel like I could have really shown some speed on that one. But yeah, and then y'all got to keep this in there, right? Right here, I didn't push the dude down. I tried to catch myself. He just he tripped on the little speaker thingy.
I didn't notice that at the end. You're trying to hold him up as he's backing him up?
I was
backing
like,
up. People kinda, are like, you knocked that guy over?
Yeah, I was coming pretty hot. So when I slowed down, like, I really just put my hands on him, but it looked like I pushed him. So, yeah, that was pretty much that first play.
Okay, BYU offense has a series. And then this is the next defensive play. And this is, to me, the play of the year so far.
Yeah, Coach Hill just gives us a great call. It's just something I've seen all week where if they're condensed and then back to me, that you have a chance to get in that RPO. And then right here, I see the three step. Like if you see, I'm already moving before he's even moving. And that was a chance I just jump it, score. I was so excited. I didn't even know what to do. All my cousins and my family talking about you had such a, like, where's your celebration? But I was so in the moment, I was just worried about making a play.
Yet you knew where the camera was for social media.
Yeah, oh yeah. I told Anna before the game, I said, I'm gonna get a pick six this game. And so that's why when I went up to her, I told her, I said, I told you.
So, I can't wait to see that in the cut.
Yeah, when the cut comes out, that'll be in there, so.
No hesitation from you, why? You didn't step backwards at all.
It was just something that we've seen like throughout the whole week, a lot in practice. I saw that play too, so I kind of knew it was coming. And then Coach Hill just gave us, like, he just, great call, and I just trust my guys over top of me, and then I went and made a play.
It's an amazing play, and it really changed the momentum of the game, and you guys win convincingly. You guys have only given up one touchdown in 35 drives.
Yeah.
How?
I mean, I feel like it's just the discipline of our defense and just trusting everyone on the field, you know. Everyone knows their responsibilities, know what they got to do, so just kind of trusting everyone and talking and making sure we're on the same page and then having those guys make plays.
Okay, it was just a few months ago in the bowl game that you played Colorado, Big 12 opener now. What are your thoughts on a new-look Buffalo squad?
Yeah, I'm excited, you know. It's another chance to go get the ball. They like to throw the ball a lot, so just taking those opportunities and making the best of them, whether that be me or the whole corner room, backers, whoever it is, just going out there and making a play.
You want another pick against Colorado?
Yeah, I want two more.
Let's make it two more. Okay, I like that. Evan, thanks for the time. Best
no
of luck,
problem.
Man.
Well, there was Evan manifesting and then performing, yeah. And great personality, too.
Yeah, good old Shmev. I mean, that's what everybody calls him. So, yeah, sometimes I have to check that his name is Evan Johnson. But
Shmev great, is yeah, the nickname.
Great kid and student of the game. And you see that Jay and Gennaro give him a little bit of freedom to take chances and try to make a play. And he won't be able to do that if he didn't have the safeties that we have that are able to keep him safe. And so if it didn't work out the way you wanted to, then he's got Tanner and Raider and Fale there to help cover it up. So it's not just like you just take a chance whenever you want. The guys know the calculated risks, and they're willing to make it right. And obviously, we give them the freedom to do that. So keep doing it.
And he won a National Defensive Back of the Week award today, too.
Good for him. If he gets two more, I mean, you know, we did get one taken away from our safety because of the substitution stuff. So we just need to get that fixed so that we can get more interceptions and make more big plays.
Time for a break. And this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. We got Spencer and Jerem with that every day at noon Eastern, BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, we'll go deep blue with Keanu Tanuvasa. And we're joined in studio by starting safety Tanner Wall. As BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues, stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Smarty, address data wizards.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Tonight's Deep Blue is presented, as always, by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. Defensive tackle Keanu Tanuvasa was already a standout player at the University of Utah. So why did he transfer to BYU? Here, the Tanuvasa family described their son and brother's journey and hear from Keanu himself about the path that led him to Cougar Nation. Here now, Deep Blue with Keanu Tanuvasa.
Everything was big about this kid. His age hasn't always equaled his stature.
Being a big kid with a soft heart was difficult. I often found myself being self-conscious of who I was because I was constantly being bombarded by the opinions of other people.
He kind of got forced into situations where he had to learn very quickly how to own who he was, not shirk away from his bigness. But be proud of it and still be the little kid that he was.
I think the world tries to force you to be one thing, to figure out that you can only fit inside one box. You know, if I'm a football player, when people see me, that's all I am.
He's very scary on the field, but like in person, he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. You can feel that it's genuine. You can feel that he wants to know you and know your story and then help in any way that he can. And it's not because he wants anything back. It's just because he's like, you're worth it to me, solely because you're a person.
Because he loves so much, he wants people to be as happy as they can possibly be and the best that they could possibly be in whatever they're trying to accomplish.
Being a fighter can only really stem from being someone who loves so deeply. You can be driven by a lot of things to be a fighter, but the strongest drive is the things of worth, the things that you love so deeply.
I would say close your eyes and I would speak him running out of that tunnel. And he would hear the sounds of the stadium. It was everything to me.
This was my dad's school. This is where he had so many memories.
But, you know, he got all these offers and eventually it was his decision. But when he ultimately decided, I was probably the happiest dad in the entire world. And you see your son running out in the colors that you wore, and when you hear his name called, it was heaven on earth.
Utah provided not just an outlet, but a purposeful path. Their focus wasn't just football, it was improving as a whole, you know, making you a better man. You know, Utah man am I. That's their motto because that was their goal.
For me, the University of Utah brought out more of who I wanted to become. From the people that worked within the facility behind the scenes to the guys that were on the field with me and making the plays, the University of Utah just helped me to develop into the man I am.
He didn't sign his NIL agreement. That's where it started. He was not interested in signing his NIL agreement for whatever reason, and I tried to dig it out of him. Thought he might be interested in more money, and he said, no, it's not the money factor. Then I said, well, then what is it, right? Because we love Utah. He just said, I don't know. I don't know why. I said, well, then think about it.
I never really contemplated being anywhere else. A lot of people can say that it was because we weren't having success. To me, it was more about the things that I was going through. For me, there was more to be done, and that potentially I was becoming stagnant with the growth that I was allowing myself to engage in. And that recognition came from no other source other than really my Heavenly Father.
I feel like I need to go into it. Well, anytime we use that word in our family, I feel, we always think it's coming from above, some light and guidance from Heavenly Father. And so we said, you feel? Well, what do you mean you feel? I wanted to say, well, I'm your feelings. I'll tell you what your feelings are. But he's old enough to know.
It's a difficult world to be in, but I've never been like hated on, you know? Yeah. And the way that the media was doing it and the difficulty of leaving and the challenges that was a part of that, there was just so much communication and miscommunication about what the reality was that it made it so hard for me to live free in my own mind amidst just all those opinions.
That's true.
But that's why, again, it was the biggest help to have you by my side.
Well, I tried.
As time goes on, I am noticing these dots that we couldn't put together. They're being connected, and we're seeing why BYU.
Leaving the U, I could have really gone almost anywhere in the country, but BYU stood out for so many reasons. And in particular, it was the opportunity to represent and speak the languages that I speak, the languages of being football, family, and my faith. I could do that up at the U, but at a greater platform was something that was so drawing to me.
Keanu chooses to put the Savior at the very core of his life, and it allows him to thrive, to be the bridge that he is, to connect with people in the way that he does, to have the really big heart and the really intenseness that comes because he nourishes his time with the Savior.
We should just see people for who they are, regardless of what jersey they're wearing, what color their skin is, what anything. We should just love each other and be kind to each other, and that's going to translate into football too.
I think that Keanu can appreciate the both, take the two of them together the same way that he was raised, share this dichotomy and make that gap so that he carries the goodness of both schools and allows for fans to feel united under him, to still cheer.
I still have given a part of my heart to the University of Utah, and I'm currently giving a piece of my heart to BYU. And if enough of my heart is out there, then potentially it'll build a bridge that someone can walk along.
When people hear the name Keanu Tanuvasa, I hope that they imagine what difference they can make in the next person's life because he made a difference in their life.
I'm proud of him. Whether it's as a U or a Cougar, he's a great kid, and he's exactly what we want young men to be.
The most important thing is his relationships with both sides is what's meaningful to him, which is what's also meaningful to Kalani, which is also what's meaningful to Jay, and to myself and everybody that's gone back and forth. It's really those relationships that we're trying to protect and let the other person know that that's important to us.
We have the ability to define our own lives, and that we also have the ability to be relentless in the pursuits of the things that we want to be, and also have the balance of loving and unity, that we ultimately don't have to conform to some sort of standard or some sort of opinion that is being sent our way. We as humans and individuals under God have the blessing of defining and writing our own story within our book of life. It's nice to be a great football player. It's better to be the best me everywhere.
It was great visiting with Keanu personally in this seat a couple weeks ago. A great representative of BYU.
Yeah, he's awesome. Just a great representative of his family. And yeah, great young man. He's gone through a lot, but we're happy he's here. And I think Utah should be really happy with the things that he's done for them and how he still represents and appreciates what they've done for him. So. I'm glad that he's a team captain and a leader and that I get to be his coach.
Well, our special guest tonight here in studio is a senior on a string of 16 straight starts at safety. And he's hoping his final season will be one that includes a trip to Arlington. And if that happens, this fellow from a different Arlington will have been a big reason why. Please welcome in number 28 safety, Tanner Wall. Thanks for being here.
Of course.
All right, so first things first, I said we want to get to Arlington, Texas, but Arlington already means a lot to you, but on a different in a different way. Give us the background there.
Yeah, so I was born and raised just right outside of D.C. I explained it to my teammates. I'm like, where I lived is basically what Provo is to Orem, like just right across the river from, you know, downtown. It's a great place. My family's very rooted there and was grateful for all the opportunities that it provided for me, but super stoked to be out here playing for Coach Kalani.
Well, I'm glad you're here from Arlington, Virginia. Some family ties to BYU, what are those?
Yeah, so my, I guess athletics-wise, my uncle, JR, he was here as a player while Kalani was here. It was O-line, D-lineman, and then...
Different last name than yours, though.
Yep, Tulane, yep. And then my aunt Brooke, she played soccer. So if you've ever seen the famous flip throwing, that's Brooke Tulane. That's my aunt, so appreciate
it. I love it. That's good. How long do you remember wanting to play a sport in Provo?
Since the moment I loved BYU and loved sports. So since, you know, that young age, it had always been my dream to come and, you know, be able to be an athlete here and represent the Y.
What is that story? How does that speak to you, Kalani?
Tad is one of my favorites, and just looking at, if you get to, I mean, we can fill the whole hour with his story and his relentless pursuit for where he's at right now, and he's made himself into something special, and he's a team captain and a leader for us, and that's just like to go from where he was as a walk-on and receiver, you know, and to have so many people have different opinions on whether he can do it or not, and then just have him just work so hard at it. And I'm thankful that the coaches recognized it, and then to put him on the field and to trust him. I mean, it's been an amazing ride. I can't believe that it's coming to an end. I'm trying to see if he has more eligibility. Because I don't want to say goodbye to this guy yet, but I mean, he's been so good to me. And in a lot of ways, our relationship, he's mentored me quite a bit too. And he's been really open and transparent in what he wants and what he thinks could be helpful for BYU as a student athlete. And man, I depend on him so much for what we do as a team and with our culture.
Tanner, you've had a great journey both to get here and then while you've been here. But back in high school in Arlington, you were a baseball, football guy, right, primarily?
Yep.
You were county offensive and defensive player of the year in football?
Yeah, the only one ever, believe it or not.
What were you playing at that time?
So I was playing safety and wide receiver, returning punts and kicks, played quarterback my junior year a little bit. But came off the field for kickoff, but that was about it.
That's wild. And then in baseball, what position were you?
So I played center field, played outfield.
Okay. Did you like them both equally at the time? Did you want to keep doing both as long as you could?
Baseball was definitely my first love, and I didn't start playing football until I was in ninth grade. You know, that's part of my story. I was always kind of a little guy. My football journey started in ninth grade. I showed up to get my pads and my helmet, and I was 5'3", 99 pounds as a ninth grader. So they spotted me an inch and 5 pounds on the roster, right? 5'4", 105, which I'm grateful for. But it was definitely a waiting game. I was a late bloomer. So, but football very quickly became like my passion and my love. And I still loved being able to play baseball. There are such different games. And, you know, having a fall season and then a spring season, it was nice to have a full off season in between both sports to kind of train and get ready. And it was a great balance for me.
Before college, mission to Brazil?
Brazil, yeah.
Muito bem, gostou?
Gostei muito.
Great. You came to BYU as a walk-on, as Kalani said, and you were a wide receiver. If the timing is right, after COVID, gray shirt, then red shirt, and then scout team, like these were like baby steps, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely a lot of patience involved in that, in the timing of all of that. You know, getting home from my mission, I was super anxious, you know, felt like I was ready to join the team. And, you know, there was a big group of us ended up gray shirting during that COVID season. At the time I was frustrated, but now I'm grateful because, you know, I wouldn't have this season, you know, to be playing right now. And then, yeah, my first season played a lot of scout team as a wide receiver, did end up playing in four games on special teams. And then, you know, the coaches decided, you know, let's use your red shirt. So didn't play any more that season, and then played in all 13 games the next year on special teams and continued to, you know, play on scout team as a wide receiver. But that whole time there was some good, you know, talks with, a lot of the defensive analysts and other coaches and even Kalani about the possibility of switching over to the defensive side of the ball.
What were you thinking about that at the time, Kalani?
Well, I mean, he could track the ball really well, and that's probably the baseball part of it too. And we needed, I mean, if you watch this guy, I know that he was really small as a freshman in high school, but when he came in, he literally transformed his body, and only hard work can do what he just did. And then you saw how fast he was moving, and I'm like, okay, we got to find a place for this guy. And that was seemed like the easiest transition that would get him on the field as fast as we could. And we already trusted him on special teams, and so it just made a lot of sense to. We've made this move before in my career. I've been able to do that with a lot of different people, and he just reminded me of some of the great safeties that we coached. And Jay Hill came in, he agreed, and it was the rest is history.
So from gray shirt in 20 to red shirt in 21 to scout team on the offense to an injury in 23, then you're a starter in 24. He led the team in interceptions last year with 3. In 2023, academic All-Big 12 first team. In 2024, academic All-America first team. In 2025, this year, already named to the All-State AFCA Good Works team. You are a team captain. You're an impressive young man.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, no, I really think that. I do. And BYU's 3-0 this year with you. And just a thought before the break on being 3-0 and opening Big 12 play at Colorado.
Yeah, no, we're really excited to get into conference play. I think, these first three games have been good for us, and we've put a lot of good things out on the field. We've definitely made mistakes as well, but we're learning from that. And I think as a team, we're really elevating, our play and continuing to be humble and build each week on the wins. We're excited to, have a great road game this week at Colorado. Great program, and we love Dion and his program and his players, so we're excited to go play them. And I know the boys are ready. We're ready to go.
Should be a lot of fun in Boulder. I'm glad you're here tonight. Stick around with us. When we come back, we'll have some fun and games with Tanner Wall and Coach Kalani when BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Continue. Stay with us. All right, this is BYU football with Kalani Sitake. We've got Kalani, we've got Tanner Wall as our special guest. Well, it's that time of the show when I put on my game show host hat, figuratively, and lead our guest through a skill testing series of questions in a segment that tonight we are calling Wall Makes the Call. There he is.
Nice.
There he is. All right. We learned tonight, Tanner, that you were a two-sport star back in Arlington, Virginia, baseball and football. So tonight, we are presenting to you some baseball and football words, phrases, or scenarios, and asking you to simply state your preference and tell us why.
Okay,
here's how it's going to go. For example, number one, we're going to say, would you prefer a pass deflection or a diving catch? Pass deflection or diving catch?
I'm going to go with pass deflection. I feel like as a safety, it's almost as big as an interception, kind of to make that play. And there's nothing like hearing 60,000 people going crazy, especially at home in Lavelle.
So. Okay, so you'll take the PBU there, the pass breakup, the pass deflection. All right, scenario number two. Would you prefer a TFL, a tackle for a loss, or a home run?
I'm taking the home run on this one, yeah.
Were you a power hitter?
I was not. I did hit a few home runs, though. And I remember every one of them. So
there's no better feeling, is there?
Yeah.
Rounding the bases, teammates meeting you at home plate.
It's pretty special.
Okay. Number three.
What's going on with the bat and the ball?
Well, you got some.
You notice that?
Yeah.
Let's just chalk it up to AI. All right. Grand slam or a pick six?
Ooh, that's tough. But I'm going with pick six. Haven't experienced that yet, but looking forward to. So.
You got to see it in front of you this past week.
That's true.
How about the plays Evan made back?
Oh, that was amazing. I've been telling people for this entire offseason and for a while that Evan Johnson is a special player, and he's just showing that out on the field right now, and he handled the offseason like a pro, and it's such a great teammate, and so I'm really thrilled to see how much success he's having.
By the way, I did feel bad for you because you had a pick taken away this past week.
Yeah, that's all right. You can give Logan Latui a hard time.
He almost got off the field. All right, scenario number four. You want a good walk-up song or a good run out of the tunnel at Lavelle Edwards Stadium? The walk-up or the walk-out song or the run out at Lavelle Edwards?
Oh, I'm taking running out of the tunnel for sure. It's just the best feeling ever.
Okay, so football gets the nod there. Scenario number five takes us to forcing a fumble, which is a pretty good thing to do, or an RBI double. Force fumble or RBI double?
Force fumble or RBI double? I'm still going to go with force fumble on this one. Yeah, that's a game-changing play. So,
you guys have trying to get Tanner to play baseball this year?
scenario number six here. Sack or stolen base?
Shoot, I've stolen a lot of bases, but not sure I have a sack yet. So, but I'm going to go with sack on this one.
I like it. Yeah. You're a speed guy?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. Stole a lot of bags.
Ever steal home?
I have stolen home before. Yeah, on pass balls and also once not on a pass ball. So that was a creative play.
Indeed. Number seven, we're going back home for this one. Washington Commanders or Baltimore Orioles?
Oh, Commanders.
There's not a question.
Yeah, I don't really mess with Maryland.
I love that. Okay, number eight, staying in the same vein, Super Bowl or World Series? Which event do you prefer?
I'm going with the Super Bowl.
Football again.
Yeah.
Kalani, don't worry. Football's winning out everywhere on this.
Yeah,
board.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if they want him, they can have him too. Baseball, that'll work too.
All right, our next one. I guess there are good options at both. Football concessions, baseball concessions. Which one speaks to you more there?
I'm going to go with baseball concessions, not because the food's better, but because the game is so slow-paced that you can actually, like, enjoy it, you know, where you're just like...
More food.
Like, yeah. If you miss a pitch or something, like, it's not the end of the world, right? Like, strike or a ball. But, like, if you're, like, in your nachos or something and you miss a play for in a football game, I feel like...
Bigger deal.
Yeah, I'd be frustrated.
Good logic. Next one. This is about the duds, football uniform or baseball uniform. Which one feels better to you?
Probably a baseball uniform.
A little snazzier? What?
I feel like it might be a little bit more comfortable, but...
Fewer pads?
But I think football uniforms are definitely cooler.
Number 11 for us. I think we have four more. The third quarter break, which is a pretty big deal at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, or a seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, that one shouldn't even be on there. Third quarter break.
You're supposed to be super, super focused, but you pay a little bit of attention to what's going on at Lavelle, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And the opposing teams are still just blown away by it.
Yeah, every time they come, they just were like, it's fun to look over and just see what they're witnessing, and they're like, where are we?
I'm still the same way. Dugout or sideline? Place to hang out with your boys, dugout or sideline?
I'm going to take the dugout.
Dugout's kind of special, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a little different than a football sideline. Football sideline's kind of all over the place, long and deep. And then dugout, you kind of can find space.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, next one. We're going to go with these really quickly. Quarterback or pitcher?
Quarterback.
Okay. We're going to fly through that one. Quarterback, pitcher, quarterback. Your baseball number was what?
11.
And your football number's 28. So which one do you like better?
28 now.
There you go. And finally, Friday Night Lights or a Saturday Twin Bill?
Friday Night Lights.
At Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
There we go.
You did a great job, Tanner. Well to go. Way to go. Well, makes the call. All right. After a break, we got some Q&A for the coach and Tanner Wall and BYU football trivia. When BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns on BYU TV, BYU Radio, and ESPN Plus.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Before we get to our audience members for Q&A, Tanner Wall with us. Who did you bring with us into the show tonight?
So my parents, Ryan and Cher, just right here in the second row, and then my wife, Corinne.
All right. Welcome, guys. Appreciate having you here. Well done. All right. Tonight's Q&A segment is featured by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. We've got at least three questions lined up here in our studio audience. Mike on the floor, and here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Kenny. Sorry, that was a little loud. And that's Milka up there. But she asked for Coach Satake, why did you become a coach for BYU?
Oh, because I ran out of playing time. So, yeah. A big BYU fan. Now I get to be a coach, and it's a lot of fun.
All right. Our next. The fact that you got to play for Lavelle kind of gave you a good mentor when it came to coaching, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
The best mentor.
Well, and then the whole entire coaching staff, I just wanted to be just like them.
Next question.
This is for Tanner Wall. I'm barely surviving American Heritage, so how did you balance being an athlete and a student at the same time?
Great question. I think what it comes down to, like, I think the most important thing is just time management. Like, you know, knowing when to where to focus your time and on what's most important. And, you know, the things that might not be priorities, just kind of put them on the back burner and focus on the things that really matter. And you'll always find time to get your assignments done, get studying done. And then at the end of the day, too, just don't worry too much about the result and just trust that you're going to go and perform your best.
Do those academic honors mean as much to you as anything else you've done athletically?
Absolutely, yeah.
So Kalani.
He's a 4.0 student. If you're a regular guy like me, C minus will suffice.
Our next question, yes.
Coming into your first Big 12 matchup, how do you prepare for that increased level of competition, and what are your expectations for conference play?
You know, I think we treat every game and every opponent kind of the same. And knowing that that's our biggest game, right? The one that you're playing in, the one that's most upcoming. But we're excited. Obviously, the bowl game was a great matchup. There'll be some good energy there, you know, regarding the outcome of that game. But we're going to continue to prepare the same way we've been preparing for all of our opponents.
Okay. Thanks to the audience for our questions. And we have time for me to get one in. Yeah, thanks, folks. Appreciate that. Yeah, give yourself a hand. In our Wall Makes the Call segment, we had your high school number and your football number, 11 and 28. And why are you number 28 at BYU?
So I wear 28 now. So funny story. So my dad and I share the same birthday. So March 28th is our birthday. And I was born on his 28th birthday. So golden birthday. We were born 28 years and 3 minutes apart in the same hospital. So kind of bizarre, like the timing of all that. But the number 28, pretty special.
I like it. So you stayed 28 to this day. Have you had it your entire career at BYU? Or?
Yeah, my freshman year, when I was playing, I was wearing 85 sometimes just because of the jersey availability, but I've been 28.
Okay, great story. Thank you. As we take another break, here's this week's BYU football trivia question. And the question is, BYU, well, last visited Colorado to play football back in 1981, but when did Colorado last play a football game at BYU? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, presented by Intermountain Health. Intermountain Health, the official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Here's tonight's trivia question. There you see it there. BYU last went to Boulder in 81. When did Colorado last play in Provo? The answer, days of yore. Days of yore, 1946?
Yeah.
There you go. That's our answer. This Saturday, BYU seeks to go 4-0 for a second consecutive season and 12th time all-time when the Cougs open Big 12 play at Colorado. 14th meeting all-time. CU leads the all-time series 8-4-1. Let's get to know the foe. Colorado is 2-2 on the year. 0-1. They've already played a Big 12 game. Lost at Houston. Of course, we all know Alamo Bowl. BYU won there. Looked real good in doing it. Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, in his third season there in Boulder. And those are the wins this year that Colorado's had. They lost to Georgia Tech and to Houston in their Big 12 opener. Kalani, quick thought on the Buffs.
Yeah, we just want to play our best. I mean, I don't know. I think we said before we wanted to do it 12 times. I felt like we did it three. We just need to make sure that four shows up this weekend.
Okay, broadcast schedule for this Saturday. We're going to be on BYU Radio and BYU TV at 8 p.m. Eastern with pregame coverage. The game itself at 10:15 Eastern, 8:15 Mountain on BYU Radio and ESPN. And then you can come to BYU Radio and BYU TV for postgame coverage right after the contest. These are the uniforms that BYU will be wearing for this Saturday's game in Colorado. Graphic and info provided by at BYU Tracker on social media. These are the same uniforms we wore. And BYU beat Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. So they're good luck uniforms. Kalani, thank you. Tanner, thank you. Folks, thank you all. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Go Cougs!